Hey, welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Think about it. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and literally the entire world lies in our ability to make God the issue in every issue. Today, we're going to be talking with Brad about Jesus being the master of spin. Brad Bright, thanks for being with us today, and I can't wait for you to explain that one.
Yep. Jesus was the master of spin. You know, my question is, does that surprise you? Maybe it even offends you a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if some people were offended by that thought. Because when we think of spin...
Yeah, when we think of spin, we think of it in relation to communication. We often think of it in a pretty negative sense. Are you sure you're going to put Jesus as the spin master?
Yeah, I mean, we think politics, don't we?
Yeah, we
do. I mean, and we don't want to lower Jesus down to the level of politics, you know. But, you know, here's some just classic examples of spin I think most people recognize. Remember the saying, read my lips, no new taxes?
I remember that one.
Or another president saying, it depends upon what the meaning of is, or equal pay for equal work, or the federal budget or the family budget, or no child left behind. Those are all spin. Those are kind of more classic examples. And, you know, we have some more current slogans such as no human is illegal, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, women's rights are human rights, love is love, science is real. You know, these can be good, they can be bad, but they're all forms of spin. And you know, spin, like money, is inherently not good or evil. What makes spin good or evil is what you do with it.
Well, and spin, the very word spin means that they're taking something and they're saying something that makes you think one thing, but what they really mean is another. But is that what Jesus did? Are you saying that Jesus was a spin master where he said one thing, but he was actually talking about something else?
Well, no, in this case, spin is really, it's what you have to decide, what is my message? What do I want to get across? And then you use everything as a platform to get that message across. You view everything as an opportunity to talk about your agenda. You know, Jesus said we're supposed to be shrewd, right?
Right.
So that's what's really going on here, is looking at conversations as platforms to talk about what I want to talk about rather than always reacting to what the other person is talking about. And in order to do that, you have to reframe or re-spin things.
Well, okay. So Jesus did. He said we were supposed to be shrewd. He commended the shrewd manager. He said we're supposed to be shrewd as snakes. I mean, he loved that word. Matthew 10:16 references that. What do you think Jesus really meant by shrewdness? Because, again, another word that's been spun on us. What is it? What do you mean?
Yeah, I think most people understand what it means to be as innocent as a dove, right? But when Jesus commanded us, it was a command to be as shrewd as snakes. People don't know what to do that. And yet Jesus demonstrated over and over and over again in the Gospels exactly what he meant. And here's what he meant. He said, Jesus always had an agenda. And his agenda was, who is God and why does it matter? And Jesus always shrewdly reframed or spun everything in order to make God the issue. And that is really what today, that's what we call spin today. That is when you take anything as a platform to talk about what you want to talk about.
I'm still struggling with this whole Jesus the spin master. And Brad, when we come back, I want to talk about more. We got to develop this a little bit more because I'm still going on. Jesus is spin master. I don't see it, but yet I know that he always was flipping. He was always messing with the Pharisees and Sadducees. I want to talk about more of this when we come back. You're listening.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about it. You'll recognize the situation. You'll go, oh, I get it now.
All right. Okay. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back. More talking about shrewdness and maybe even about rhetoric. Another word that was all twisted inside of me. Hang on for just a second.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Brad, we're talking about Jesus being the spin master. And we're not talking about, you know, DJ spin master. We're talking about rhetorical conversations. In fact, let's talk about rhetoric. Because again, and you and I have had this private conversation. Whenever I hear the word rhetoric, I think of, again, in negative terms. You know, it has a negative reputation. So what do you know about rhetoric?
Well, you know, Jim, rhetoric's neither good nor bad. What makes rhetoric good or bad is how you use it, what your end goal is. But, you know, but God is the issue. I really talk about the three R's of rhetoric: roll over, react, or reframe. In any situation, you will do one of those three things. You will either roll over, react, or reframe. Now, we naturally roll over and react. Most of us don't naturally reframe. Rolling over is what I call the ostrich syndrome. You know, we ignore something, we duck, we hope it goes away. Reacting is when we're on defense. We're saying, stop it, stop it. We're trying to stop something from moving forward. This is what Jesus called being salt. Salt's a preservative. Salt tries to slow down or stop decay. And that's a legitimate role for a believer. However, the third option is reframing. And this is what Jesus did 90% of the time. Now, reframing, another word for reframing is spin. It's when we go on offense, we're trying to advance our agenda. So rather than playing defense and answering the questions, we want to use the questions and the circumstances as an opportunity to talk about our issue. This is what Jesus called for us being light. That is making God the issue. We want to look at everything as a platform to make God the issue.
Really, you're talking about taking conversations and spinning them on their head. I mean, you're talking about, you know, and that's what Jesus was really good at. I mean, can you give us some examples from today, though? I mean, give me some examples.
Yeah, here's the thing. On the evening news, right? How many times have we heard on the evening news a politician saying, you know, that's a really good question, but I think the real issue is. And he goes off and talks what he wants to talk about. Never answers the question. That's because he understands he has an agenda and he views that as a platform for his agenda. Now, here's one I use a lot. You know, when someone says, are you this? I say, if by that you mean. As soon as you say, if by that you mean, you know, I'm getting ready to redefine the conversation, to reframe it, to re-spin it. So when someone says, well, Brad, are you woke? And I say, if by that you mean, do I believe that I should do unto others as they do have done unto me? No, I agree with Jesus that I should do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Or if someone says, Brad, are you a Christian nationalist? And I say, if by that you mean, do I love Jesus and do I love my country? Yes, I do. Do you love Jesus? Do you love your country? You see, that is spin. That is rhetoric. Jesus was a master of this, and we need to become masters of it as well. You know, here's one other circumstance, and it's a great opportunity to make the issue about Jesus. You know, if I pray in public at an event and someone says, I'm offended you pray in the name of Jesus. You know, 25 years ago, I probably would have said, you know, I didn't mean to offend you. Now, that sounds a lot like an apology, doesn't it? And if I have to apologize for praying in the name of Jesus, it's better not to pray in the name of Jesus. It's better not to pray in the name of Jesus than to apologize for praying in the name of Jesus. So today, I don't even go there. Today, instead, I immediately spin it, okay? I reframe it. And I just go to the core issue, and that is, and I say, what do you have against Jesus? Is it that he claimed to be God? Is it that he claimed to be the only way to God? Is that your problem with Jesus? See, because that is the real issue in the conversation. They're offended I prayed in the name of Jesus because they don't believe Jesus is God. And I want to cut to the chase, have the real conversation, then by having that conversation, may even be able to help move them closer to God.
But isn't it also possible that they're offended that you prayed in the name of Jesus because they were told they should be, but they don't really know why? Isn't that also? There's a lot of that going on. Well, I'm offended. Why are you offended? I don't know, but I'm supposed to be. I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be offended, so I'm going to be offended today. I mean, isn't there some of that going on?
There is some of that preconditioning, but the people who would actually come up to me afterward and say it are the ones that probably really have a problem with Jesus. And here's reality. Even if they are just saying it, this gives me a great opportunity to talk about who is Jesus and why does it matter in their life today.
All right. So let's just review. How did Jesus frame his conversations and opportunities? What was his, do you got like a, this is what he did?
Well, I can give you some examples.
We're going to get to that. I want to get to that, but I want to dedicate a whole segment to that. But you, I know that Jesus framed his conversations in one specific way, and I want to make sure
he
point it out.
Yeah. Here's the point. Jesus always had an agenda, and that was to make God the issue. That was his agenda. And therefore, he looked at everything, every situation as an opportunity or a platform to make God the issue. And he did that through reframing, redefining, and spinning. And this is part of what Jesus meant when he commanded his followers to be as shrewd as a snake. That is to take every opportunity out there to make God the issue.
Make God the issue in every issue. Brad, it's a great conversation. When we come back, we're going to get into some serious examples. Just throwing out a few examples of what does it look like to make God the issue in every issue. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We'll be right back after this message.
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org and schedule Brad today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast as we talk today about Jesus, the spin master. Brad Bright, I think it would be helpful for us just to go through a few examples of how Jesus reframed or spun conversations. What do you got up your sleeve?
Well, as you read the Gospels, there's example after example after example. I mean, we could go on almost all day. But let's take some of the ones we're more familiar with to start with, right? Remember when Jesus in John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery was brought to him by the religious leaders?
Oh, yeah, that one always ticks me off because where's the guy? They didn't bring the guy. They only brought the woman.
Only brought the woman, right? Of course, because, again, the Pharisees had an agenda, didn't they? They had an agenda. So they bring this woman, caught in the act of adultery. And they said to Jesus, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say, Jesus? And of course, they were trying to set him up. If Jesus said stone her, that would be an abrogation of why Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost.
Right.
So to say stone her really undermined Jesus' message. And on the other hand, if he says don't stone her, then say, well, you don't uphold the law of Moses. So they had him in a predicament, and they knew it. So how did Jesus respond? What's the first thing Jesus did?
Well, I don't have my Bible in front of me. Is this the one where he started writing something on the dirt in the ground?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Right. He starts writing something which John didn't write down, so we don't know what he said, but I'm guessing it was some salacious things about those people who were questioning him.
Well, here's what I'm guessing he was writing down, okay? He bent down with his finger, started writing in the sand. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. I think he was writing stuff like that. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Well, yeah. In other words, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's really, really, really good-looking wife.
I think he was.
And how many of these guys had done that perfectly for a lifetime?
I'm thinking he's writing the ladies' names down. I mean, to me, I got to go. I got mine that goes, I don't think he was being vague. I think he was being specific because they all bolted.
They did after he reframed, right? Until he reframed, they all stayed there. They kept on saying, Jesus, what do you say? Even he's writing these things down in the sand. They're thinking, we've got him, right? But then what did he say? What was his response? He wrote in the sand, and they finally said, Jesus, come on. What do you say? And what was his answer, Jim?
Well, he who's without sin, let him cast the first stone.
Exactly. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. That's what you call spin. And the result of that is what happened. The religious leaders, starting with the oldest, started just departing the scene until finally there was no one left.
And Jesus says,
and all of her accusers were gone. And finally said, Jesus said, women, where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone. He said, well, neither do I condemn you. Well, that's a phenomenal example how Jesus spun things. Or, Matthew chapter 22. And when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Oh, thou wise master, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And how did Jesus respond?
"Why don't give me a coin? Give me a coin." And he looks at the coin and he says, "Whose face is on that coin?" "Well, it's Caesar's face." And he says, "Brad?"
He says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," and stopped right there, right?
No, he didn't. He says, "Render unto God what is God's."
Bingo. Why? Because Jesus always had an agenda. He didn't just want to answer the question. He wanted to make it about who is God and why does it matter. So render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's.
Yeah, and in that, you know, he was saying, Caesar's not God, because he said Caesar and God, and Caesar said, "I'm God."
But Jesus clearly made that distinction, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did.
But he always brought it back to who is God, why does it matter, and what are you going to do about it? Render unto God what is God's. In Matthew 21, in the chapter preceding that, the Pharisees, the religious leaders came to Jesus and said, "By what authority do you do all this stuff? Why, what authority are you doing these things?" And how did Jesus respond? He did it a little differently this time. Again, reframing. But instead of responding, he answered their question with another question.
They said,
"By what authority?"
Yeah, wait, I just got it. You think about that. I just want you to think. Jesus is going, "Oh, have they not figured out who they're dealing with? This is so simple. It's like picking ducks out of a pond when there's a million ducks on the pond." And he says to them, "I'm not going to answer your question." It was like what we see on TV with the presidential debates. "I'm never going to answer your question. I'm going to ask you a question. The baptism of John. Where was its source? Was it from heaven or was it from men?"
Men. Basically said, "I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine." That was what was clearly implied here, right? And so the Pharisees are now in a predicament, because if they didn't believe John was the source of his authority was from God, and they knew if they said that, the people would stone them, because the people believed that John the Baptist was a prophet sent from God. So if they said that, they get stoned. But if they said it was from heaven, Jesus was going to do what? He's going to turn it on them and say, "Well, then why on earth didn't you believe him?" So they were stuck. So they said, "We don't know." And once again, Jesus reframes, doesn't he? He said, "Then I won't answer your question either." See, they didn't say, "I won't answer your question." They said, "I don't know." But Jesus flipped it again to bring it back to the point. He said, "Then I won't answer your question either." Clearly implied in their answer, but they didn't want to say that. And so twice Jesus reframed in the course of, 30 seconds?
Right, and instead of getting into a deep philosophical argument with them, he shut them down.
He shut them down.
But he didn't insult them personally. He didn't attack them personally. He just responded and says, "Well, if you're not going to answer my question, I'm not going to answer your question," because it wasn't going anywhere.
But he made them look really bad. Because understand, although Jesus was dialoguing with the religious leaders, who was he really talking with?
Everybody following him.
All the people who were watching. Exactly. Sometimes we have to keep that in mind as we have conversations, that sometimes our audience is not the person we're talking with, but the other people listening in.
It's almost always that. Think about, as parents at home, it's hardly ever the people you're talking to. It's always your kids listening, because they repeat everything you say.
They do. And we have to keep that in mind. A couple other examples in Matthew 12 regarding the Sabbath, that Jesus shows up at the synagogue and there's this man whose arm is all shriveled up and useless. And the religious leaders are there and they're wanting to see what Jesus is going to do. And they can kind of see Jesus is looking at the man. And so they said, "Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Because in their minds, healing is work, right? You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So they said, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And Jesus does what? He reframes. He spins it. And he responds by responding this way. He said, "Well, let me ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" And then he proceeds to go and heal the man and heal his arm. But again, he reframed it from, "Is it lawful to heal?" to, "Is it lawful to do good?"
Doesn't he first say, "Your sins are forgiven," and then heal your hand? Is that the one where he says, "Your sins are forgiven" first?
That was the paralytic.
That's right. That's right.
Different story, but also a case where Jesus healed someone. Exactly. Anyway, you see the point. He did it again and again. John 8, where he said, where the Pharisee said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. Again, redefining what it means to be a child of Abraham. He said, the point was, Jesus spun things time after time after time. And if you find that word offensive, use the word Jesus reframed things time and time again. But the reality is, Jesus was a spin master.
So, but if there was one word you would use to describe Jesus as a communicator, what would that one word be?
You want to guess, or should I say it?
I think you should just say it, because I might guess wrong.
Shrewd. Shrewd. One word. As a communicator, Jesus was shrewd. He was a master of rhetoric. He was a master of spin.
And he's our master, and we need to learn how to communicate just like he did, making God the issue in every issue. Brad Bright, great conversation today.
Oh, this is fun. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Remember to check us out online at brightmedia.org, brightmedia.org. Lots of resources out there. We'd love for you to check them out. Remember, always be kind, always be compassionate, and always be shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.